Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. Good morning. Yes, I've been here 19 years. No, I did not start when I was 12. Started after I graduated from college, but I get that question a lot. 41 years old, married to Allison. We've been married 16 years. We have two daughters, Elle, who's 9, and Caroline, who's 6. And so it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Just an honor, blessed to do what I do here at Briarwood. I'm going to give you what seems to be a lot of bad news, but on the front end, I want to give you some good news. And then I'm going to let you fill out these tech quizzes in a second, because I want you to interact with each other to do that. But the Lord is doing a lot of work in this generation. And so we'll hear some discouraging things, and we need to be on guard. Pastor Reeder says we tend to live our lives like we're on a cruise ship instead of a battleship, and we are in a battle. And so I want us to be prepared for battle as we go into this area of technology. But the Lord is doing a lot of awesome things in this generation. Just this weekend, we had an apologetics conference here at the church. We had 900 high school and junior high students come. Now, if that's not good news, I don't know what else is. I mean, an apologetic isn't like the thing that all the teenagers want to come do. The new Marvel movie was released, and so they chose an apologetics conference over that. So that's really good news. We had two students come in. One of the first two students that came in that saw a flyer in a restaurant, and they go to Spain Park, and we met them, and one of them's named Muhammad, one of them's name was Chris, and we got to meet them, and they said, "We just saw a flyer about this conference in the restaurant, and we're seekers. We're coming to find answers." And they said they were atheists, but they came and actually had some time with Abdu Murray, who's with Ravi Zacharias Ministries. He found them afterwards and got to talk to them. And then a bunch of our kids were standing around them helping answer questions in this conversation. So God really is at work doing a lot of neat things. But now we move into the area of technology, and I think this is the most important conversation to have. And actually, grandparents and parents are the ones who need to hear it, I think, over the kids, because you guys and their parents are the ones that ultimately have control over these devices. We see them a couple hours a week. Their parents see them all during the day, all during the night, all throughout the week. And they get these devices from their parents. We don't give them to them. And so we need to help educate parents and grandparents, because the conversations that are the most important are those that are going on in the home. I want to read Deuteronomy 6 and ask you a question. Then I'm going to allow you to take this tech quiz. Some of you have already taken it. You can kind of compare answers, and I'll give you answers as we go. But it says this: "Hear, O Israel," this is Deuteronomy 6, "the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." So this is written to adults. This is written to the parents. Right, "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might." So as grandparents and parents, that's the first thing we need to ask ourselves. Do we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our might? And then he's going to give some instructions from that. What do we do with that in our family? And he says this: "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." And so what is God telling the people of Israel that their house and their lives should be centered on? The Word of God. So let me ask you this, just show of hands. How many of you would say that maybe you're children's home, the adults, the parents, how many of you would say most teenagers live in a home that's media-centered versus God-centered? Raise your hand if you think that. That's what we see. And that's our challenge as parents. I'm a parent. And the question we ask ourselves almost every day is, our house God-centered or is our house media-centered? And the fact is that many, many times we're convicted about that, and we feel like, you know what? Our house and our lives are really centered around media, technology, TV, movies, all these things. And it's a daily effort to make sure our homes are God-centered and Word-centered. That's why he said be diligent to do that. It takes diligence. It also takes diligence to know, to get what shouldn't be in your home out of your home, or to manage it, or to balance it. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to talk about that tech quiz. If you haven't taken it, You can use your neighbor to talk about it. Don't use your phone, because that would kind of defeat the purpose. All right. Actually, if you thought about using your phone, you passed the test. So go ahead and do that. Talk about it. You can work together on it. So I'll give you a couple minutes to do that. All right. Anybody need any more time? All right. Raise your hand if you think you failed this test. All right. Not everybody. Okay. That's good. Well, as Dave said, this generation is really characterized by technology, and technology, there's a lot of good things that come with technology, but there's definitely a lot of bad things that come with technology too. Dave, she asked if you could turn them up a little bit more. I think they're fine with the lights on. Yeah, I think it's fine. One of my favorite books when I think about this generation is J.C. Ryle's Thoughts for Young Men that he wrote for young people, young men, but it's for women too. And this is what he says. He says, talking about the younger generation, he says, "You are those on whom he displays all his choicest temptations." And I think about media. "He spreads his net with the most watchful carefulness." This is Satan's attack on this next generation. "You are those on whom he," Satan, "displays all his choicest temptations. He spreads his net with the most watchful carefulness to entangle your hearts. He baits his traps with the sweetest morsels to get you into his power. He displays his merchandise before your eyes with his utmost ingenuity in order to make you buy his sugared poisons and eat his accursed dainties. You are the grand object of his attack. May the Lord rebuke him and deliver you out of his hands." That's why I do youth ministry. That's why I've done it for 19 years, because I think about the attacks that Satan is having on this generation. And we know that if we can reach them with the gospel now, that Christ will prevail in their lives, even when Satan attacks. But I really do think he's using technology as his choicest temptation. And they're buying in, and we're seeing them get addicted to that, get entrapped to the things that they're seeing on their screens, obsessed with their screens, obsessed with social media, sucked into pornography, entrapped by sin. And most parents and grandparents feel inadequate and overwhelmed by this. If you feel inadequate in the area of technology, raise your hand. All right, I do too. And I'm trying to be in it. But you know what? Once I do a talk like this, a month later, I have to redo it because everything changes. And so it's a constant educating of ourselves. This generation, as Dave said, is called Generation Z or iGen, like iPhone, iGen. We call them screenagers sometimes because they're always on the screen. But I think it's more than just them, isn't it? It's us too. And so here's a picture that I found to be pretty interesting. What's interesting about that picture? Everybody's on their phone. How many times have you been in the grocery store line with nothing to do and you get on your phone? How many times are you waiting on the doctor and you get on your phone? So many times. And I'm not saying that's bad, but it sucks all of us in. I've been on my phone and told Allison, "I'm getting sucked into the black hole again." That's what we call it. It's the black hole. How about this picture? This characterizes this generation. When they get together, that's what they do. I was at dinner with a couple students a couple years ago at Zaxby's, sitting in a booth with two students over here on my left and three students across from me, and they were texting each other. Like, and I just went, "Seriously, guys? Are y'all really texting each other right here when you could be talking?" But that's this generation. This is the average teenager has all of these things at their disposal, an iPad, a computer, and a phone, and they know how to do it, too. Have y'all ever seen that picture of the little baby that has a magazine, a real magazine, and she's trying to flip it like this, like it's an iPad, the pictures? I tried to find the video, but I couldn't find it, but I think that characterizes this. But how often do we see this at lunch? And that's really sad. How often does it happen at my house? How about this one? That one really breaks my heart. I think they want interaction with people. They want community, and especially with their parents. How about this one? So where are they consuming most of their media? What screen is their drug of choice? Their phone, right? And so you've got the iPhone, but that's not the only phone you'll see them have. Some of them have an Android phone. That's the Samsung Galaxy. And, you know, the great thing about phones is you don't need an alarm clock anymore. You don't need a calculator. You don't need a day timer. You don't need a camera. You don't need a video camera. And so they're very convenient. But for us, we also don't need face-to-face time. We don't need real conversations. We don't need to go see a movie somewhere with a group of friends. We can just watch it on our phone. And so so it can be very, very dangerous. Technology is a great thing, but this is what it gives us. It gives us the unlimited, overwhelming access to anything, anywhere, at any time. So if you really wanted to know these answers, what could you have done? Google it, right? We all know that. Well, guess what? If you want to see something that you shouldn't see, guess what you do? Google it. If you want to find out about something that you're curious about, what do? You Google it. And so we have a lot of young children that are finding out about sin in a sinful way. And it's not that we don't want them to find out about sin. That's our job as parents and grandparents. We want them to find out about sin in a biblical way. There's a book that's called Talks, and it's about how the parents talk about these issues. And he says it's not that we don't get these things on the table. It's that we get them on our table, and we don't let the world get them on its table. But students that are young and old, when they're curious about something, guess where they go? Google, YouTube. They watch a video on it. They look it up, and that gets them in a lot of trouble. Unlimited, overwhelming access to anything, anywhere, at any time. All right, so tech quiz question number one. What percentage of kids own a smartphone? Now raise your hand if you put 89%. You are correct. I had to give you an easy one to begin with. So yes, 89% have a smartphone. And so this graph on your left is 2012. If you look at that middle, that green line, in 2012, only 41% of students or teenagers, 13 to 17 year olds, had a smartphone. But now, 6 years later, in 2018 or seven, 89% have a smartphone. So almost all of them. If you go into a room and ask teenagers, across any demographic, by the way, how many of y'all have an iPhone or an Android? Raise it up, and they would almost all raise their hand. I went around and asked some students some questions. Here's the thing. Let me go to the tech question number two before I go there. What is the average age, 10, 12, or 14? If you said 14, raise your hand. All right. Good. If you said 12, raise your hand. Okay. Said 10. All right. Y'all are doing good. 10 is the average age of a student or child getting a cell phone. That's scary. I have a 9-year-old, and there's no chance she's getting a cell phone at 10. I can tell you that much. And they're always connected. 45% say that they're online constantly, almost all the time. 44% say they go on several times a day, and only 41% say they spend too much time on it, which is interesting because we would disagree with that. But in their minds, 41% of them say I'm on it too much. 60% would say I'm not on it as much as it's not a problem. And we would say no, 100% of you are on it too much, right? So I went around and asked some students some questions about this, some of our students. And here, and it was really, really eye-opening. Here's some quotes from some of our students. Freshman in high school says, I'm addicted to social media. Addiction is a real thing. When we take them on trips and we tell them they can't bring their cell phone, they have withdrawals. They really do. Another student says, I accidentally stumbled onto porn while searching for a Bible verse. It's a junior girl. That happens all the time. Matter of fact, these porn sites have gone in and disguised themselves, chosen internet names, chosen domain names that a child would look at, like Encyclopedia Britannica. So Britannica.com is a porn site. or .org or something like that. Whitehouse.com is a porn site. And so what happens for a kid, that's a small child that's doing research, and, you know, because they're having to get, even in like third grade, they're having to get on the computer and do research. And some parents just let them go for it. And they type in something, and they're exposed to pornography at an early, early age, which is really sad. So this girl accidentally stumbled on porn looking for a Bible verse. I see lots of homosexual stuff on my Instagram account. That is, it's unbelievable how much they're exposed to homosexuality. And some of them are choosing to look at it, but a lot of them are choosing not to, but it's just there. You know, we used to tell, I mean, we still do, we tell students, flee temptation, don't resist it. Flee temptation. Well, the problem is for them, if this is the temptation and they're fleeing it and running that way, guess what's right here? Temptation, media, the phone, the computer, the whatever. And it's hard for them to flee it because it's everywhere. And I believe it's because parents have given them this and said, hey, this is yours. And they haven't monitored it like they should. And so we've got a lot of work to do on that. Any guy that doesn't have blocks is looking at porn. Another one of our high school students. And I was talking to a bunch of them, and one of them said that. And then the whole group said, yeah, we don't have blocks on our phone. Basically, that was their way of saying we're struggling with porn. I have yet to meet a high school student that hasn't looked at pornography and isn't struggling with it in some way. I'm bored, so I just get on it. Another high schooler. I would be better off without my smartphone. I thought that was interesting. I would be closer to God without my phone. It's a distraction. So there's this real desire to be on their phone, and they're addicted to it, but there's also this inward desire to not have it, to seek God, to search for the Lord, to spend time with the Lord, but they're addicted to it, many of them, and they just can't give it up. We've done some things where we've just said, all right, we're going to do away with our cell phone, and they're all like, oh, I can't do that, and then they do it, and they're like, I love that. That was awesome. That was the best week of my life. Guess what they do the next day? Right back on it, right? And so there's this turmoil within. So what kind of sins does technology to their phone? What's exposed? This is a great, there's maybe some great talking points with your grandchildren or your children that are parents. First of all, I would say it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. They just waste time. We waste time on our phone. You've gotten pulled into Facebook, I'm sure, some of you, and after 30 minutes thought, what am I doing? What, I don't even know what I was looking at. That was a waste of time, right? Self-worship, narcissism. How many likes am I getting? How many likes am I getting? I'm going to put this picture out because I want attention. Identity crisis. Who am I? And they're all asking that question. Who am I? Who I am depends on what people think of me. Not what God thinks of me. Not that I'm made in God's image. And who I am depends on what God says. But my phone and my social media is going to dictate who I am. And by the way, none of these are particular struggles just for this generation. I mean, Satan is using these things as long as Adam and Eve. It's just that he's using it through media now, right? He's just got an open doorway, a quicker doorway. Idols of entertainment. Just being entertained all the time. But you know what's funny? They've got more entertainment than any other generation, and they're the most bored and depressed. I think that tells us something. False sense of community. Those students that I was with were texting each other while we're at the dinner table, texting each other, and they feel like that's good interaction. I've got lots of friends. I've got 1,000 friends on Instagram, you know, and we try to tell them those aren't your friends. That may be some friends on there, but that doesn't equal friendship. Sexual confusion. Think about a seventh grade girl that's going through puberty that looks up transgender or looks up homosexuality to find out what it is instead of having the conversation with their mom and dad. They'll find out what the world thinks about transgender and what the world thinks about sex and what the world thinks about homosexuality. And Satan will use that to confuse them. They'll see pictures. They'll watch commercials, and they'll have a lot of questions, and it breeds sexual confusion. Bullying, we see that a lot. It's an easy way to bully someone, to talk about them over social media, say something about them, then everybody sees it. And lots of students around the world have committed suicide because of the bullying that's going on over social media. Addiction to pornography, we'll talk about that later, but that is an epidemic. It is. You'll see what we're talking about, but that is a very real thing. Addiction to social media, we talked about that. And then reputation ruined. There's been students in our community that have put things out, or somebody's videoed something and posted it, and their reputation is ruined, and they can't gain it back, or at least that's the perception, because thousands and thousands of people see it. And so what must we do? We have to educate ourselves to be able to deal with the challenges of technology so that we can protect and equip our children. So we want to protect them, but we also have to equip them how to use it. How do we use and redeem technology for the Lord? So let me ask you this. What do you think is the most dangerous place for a teenager? Bedroom? Yeah. For a lot of them, their own bedroom, their own home. I would say for most of them, the most dangerous place for them is their home. I would say that that is when a lot of them get in trouble. When they can go in their bedroom, or they can go in the other room, they can get their phone out, they can talk, they can look at something, they can engage in conversation, they can do research, they can get into a chat room, lots of things. That's the most dangerous place. You know, it's interesting, even the Silicon Valley executives know how dangerous these devices are. They made them. They created them. There was an article in the New York Times called "A Dark Consensus About Screens and Kids Begin to Emerge in Silicon Valley." You probably won't be able to read this, but I'll read it to you. It says, this idea that Silicon Valley parents are wary about tech is not new. The godfathers of tech expressed these concerns years ago, and concern has been loudest from the top. Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, said earlier this year that he would not let his nephew join social networks. Bill Gates banned cell phones until his children were teenagers. And Melinda Gates wrote that she wished they had waited even longer. Steve Jobs would not let his young children near iPads. Isn't that interesting? They know they're actually doing it right, because they know how bad it is. They know how serious it is. So I want to show you a picture of the most dangerous road in the world. It's in Bolivia. All right, there it is. That little white line is a road. All right, and here is here's a close up of it. Brian Winterstein's in the back. Have you ever driven on that road to see some missionaries? Probably so. All right, so other than it's on a cliff, and other than it seems to only be one lane, but there's two lanes of traffic going, what stands out to you about that road? What's something that they maybe could add to make it a little safer? A guardrail, right? Well, how many of our students have cell phones with no guardrail? And what we need to realize is, it's not when we were raising our little kids, we had two kind of areas that Alice and I talked about. Two areas that we said, all right, does it fall in this area or this area? And one of them was, all right, is this a coffee table area? In other words, when we had our coffee table in our living room, we didn't move the coffee table out when Elle was 1 year old and starting to walk. But we knew she was going to bump her head, right? But we didn't just move all the furniture out. No, we knew that a fall, a bump, wasn't going to kill her. And we needed to teach her how to manage that. And she could do it at 1 and 2 years old. But then we had the area that we called the poison. All right, and that's the poison under the sink, or we moved it and put it up. What do you do with the poison when you have a child in your home? You put locks on it, right? Well, I would say the cell phone is not the coffee table. The cell phone isn't the, hey, give it to them. You know, if they fall, if they bump their head, look at porn, not a big deal. If they get into a chat room, if they're exposed to something too young, not a big deal. That's not the best way to use it. No, we have to protect them. Now, eventually we unlock the poison drawer, but we don't do it when they're 4. We don't do it when they're 5. we make sure that they know what this does, right? And then we still keep an eye on it. Well, that's what I would say with a cell phone for parents to think about. It's in the poison area of discipline and of parenting, because it's like this road. If they go off, it's a cliff. It's a cliff that's going to just possibly destroy their lives. And so we try to help parents come up with some boundaries and guardrails. The road's dangerous. They're going to have to get a cell phone. They're going to have to get a computer at some point. That road is very dangerous. So you got to put guardrails on it. And so what I always tell parents and grandparents is, first of all, you just got to be informed. You got to know what's out there. And that's a hard, hard thing. Just as Deuteronomy says, be diligent to make sure your home is God-centered. We have to be diligent to make sure that it's not media-centered. Make sure that the people babysitting our kids and our grandkids aren't the people on YouTube, the influencer on YouTube or the Instagram account. We have to be diligent in that. So the way that we do that is to be informed. And so I love Ephesians 6. It's a good picture of the reality of where we are. Paul talks about that we're in a battle and that we're to put on the armor of God. And he says this, why do we put on the armor of God? He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. The devil has schemes, and he's having a lot of victory right now. And one of his schemes, as we talked about, is this area of technology. And it's hard as parents and grandparents. I think we're discouraged. We feel like we'll never understand technology. We'll never be able to understand it. You have to get your grandchildren to help you set an alarm on your phone probably sometimes. If you ever have a technology issue, who do you ask? Probably your grandchildren, right? Hey, can you fix this? My grandparents always made me hook up their VCR, and they had no idea what a VCR is. I had to get everything in their house ready. So we feel like we're not informed, and we feel behind. One dad said this. He says, I always feel like I'm three apps behind my kids, right? Now, y'all probably feel like you're three generations of technology iPhones behind your kids, your grandkids and your kids. But I always feel like I'm three apps behind my kids. I love that. All right, tech quiz number three. I think it's number three. Yeah. What is the most popular online platform with teens? Instagram? All right. How many of you said Instagram? I thought I'd get you on that one. How many of you said Facebook? Okay, I got some of you. Y'all are wrong. Y'all are dead wrong, okay? When non-teenagers, when adults started getting on Facebook, guess what the teenagers did? They get off of it. And that's going to happen to Instagram, too. How many of you said YouTube? All right, y'all are the only ones that are right. YouTube is the most popular platform among teens, but Instagram is second. They're on that like crazy, but they're on YouTube watching videos, learning how to do this or that. By the way, if you ever need to fix something at your house, just look it up on YouTube. I fixed a dryer, I fixed a washer, I fixed a dishwasher. I did something to my car. YouTube video was great. They're not really looking at YouTube for that, but it can be helpful. YouTube, Instagram was second, Snapchat was third, Facebook was fourth, Twitter, they never get on there. Tumblr, Reddit, we don't even know what those are. So YouTube is number one. Yep.
What are they looking at YouTube for?
Everything. Funny videos. You get on there and have a compilation of falls where people are just falling and hurting themselves and they watch that or how do you know, some of them get on there and just watch YouTube influencers is what they're called. So if you're interested in something like hiking, you just go in there and type in hiking, and there's people that have millions of views that take you everywhere and show you all the hiking equipment, this and that, movie reviews. I mean, anything and everything, you can look it up on YouTube, and you can find a video on it, an influencer that influences people about it, and it's huge. And then they're posting stuff on YouTube as well, posting videos on it, doing all those things. So, yeah, how to play your video, you name it. They're getting on there and looking at it. They watch people play video games on YouTube. How boring is that? I mean, I really can't think of anything more boring than watching someone play a video game. But they get on there and watch somebody for hours and hours and hours. They do that. Instagram, Snapchat, that's a big one that is just really, I don't understand it. They text each other, they send pictures, and then it disappears. And they're not all sending bad pictures and using it because it disappears and there's no accountability. That's going on a lot, and they like that about it. They can send a message or a picture of themselves, and it goes to the other person, and they only can see it for 2 seconds, and then it disappears. We know that it never really disappears. And you can take a snapshot of your screen and save it forever, and they all know that. But they're on Snapchat all the time, and they have something called Snapchat streaks, where it's just they just keep an ongoing message for hundreds of days, and so you have a streak, and they want to keep that streak up, so they'll send somebody a picture of like the ceiling, and just because it's a streak, right? So some other popular apps. I think this is in your tech guide that we gave you, but don't worry about opening it up right now. But the green is apps that are semi-safe. The yellow would be apps that are dangerous. And then the red are really, really dangerous. So Instagram, yellow. Porn is all over Instagram, all over it. If you just go to the homepage of Instagram, you're going to see a very, very bad image. And not even meaning to, but it's all over that. It's a gateway into hard pornography. And then you've got the Vine, which this is old. That's no longer exists. Kick. Snapchat, red, because it's because it can be deleted, whatever you send. Facebook, poke. They don't really use Facebook. YouTube, yellow, high caution, because there's tons of pornography on there. But it's got some useful uses. Skype or FaceTime, just being able to, you know, not just call each other, but now see each other naked. I mean, that happens all the time where they're FaceTiming or Skyping each other with no clothes on. Tumblr, Facebook Messenger, I'm trying to fly through these. Pinterest, even that has pornography on it. Google Chrome, so why do we say that Google Chrome or any other web browser is dangerous? Because a student can get on Google, can download an app, Google Chrome, if they have Safari on their phone, and their parents say, we're going to turn off Safari, but they don't turn off the App Store. Guess what they do? They go into the App Store, and they download Google Chrome, and they do look at whatever they want to look at Google Chrome, which is anything and everything, and then when they're done with it, guess what they do with the app? They delete it, right? So they get around those blocks, and it's just, you can do all, there's an incognito tab that you can click that doesn't keep your history on Google. They all have that on any of these web browsers. So Firefox, Safari, all of those are just instant access to anything and everything anytime. And we need to be really careful. And what happens is children are given these phones without any instructions, without any help. And it's more dangerous than giving a 10-year-old a gun, and a loaded gun, and saying, here you go, we'll see you later, and not giving them any instruction. All right. I think this is the next tech quiz. How many teenagers say they are addicted to their phone? We had 29%, 47%, 78%. How many of you said 29%? Okay, yeah, that was kind of an easy one. 47%. All right. How many said 78%? All right. Interesting that 47% say they're addicted to their phone, but their friends say that 78% of their friends are addicted to the phone. So really the top number is the more accurate number, but only 47% think they're addicted to it. But again, their friends say that's a lot higher when they think about those around them. They're addicted to the phone, right? 45% of teens say they're online constantly. We talked about that. Another excerpt from that article from the New York Times, A Dark Consensus About Screens and Kids Begin to Emerge in Silicon Valley. This is what it says. Athena Chavarria, who worked as an executive assistant at Facebook and is now Mark Zuckerberg's philanthropic arm, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, said, I'm convinced the devil lives in our phones and is wreaking havoc on our children. She's an executive at Facebook. Ms. Chavarria did not let her children have cell phones until high school, and even now bans use in the car and severely limits it at home. And then there's Chris Anderson, the former editor of a website called Wired. It's all about technology. Says, on the scale between candy and crack cocaine, it's closer to crack cocaine he says of the cell phones. That's very, very true. There's a video, I don't have time to play it, of one of the founders of Facebook who says, we knew what we were doing. We knew that it was addictive. We put things in there to pull people in and keep them on this platform. We knew what we were doing. It's addictive. And it's really, really becoming an epidemic. There's also major, major, major dangers beyond addiction, as we've talked about, identity crisis, depression, mental health. I think one of the most dangerous areas that they're exposed to is pornography. Pornhub is a popular pornography site, probably the most popular, most well-known pornography site that you can access from your cell phone. Your fifth question, how many daily visitors does Pornhub have a day? Is it 800,000, 8 million, or 81 million? 81 million. 81 million visitors a day, daily average visits on Pornhub. I just think that is unbelievable. The access they have to that. If you were looking for a house and you had small children or teenagers and you found your dream home, but it was right in between a strip joint and a marijuana store, would you buy it? No, why? Why wouldn't you buy it? Too much temptation, bad influence. Well, here's the reality. Kids have a marijuana store, a strip joint, and anything else, and they're not just next door to it. It's attached to their hip. It's attached to their hip. They have it all the time. You'd be better off taking their phone and moving into a house by a strip joint than giving them a phone without any boundaries or help or instruction. The next question that we had on there is, what percentage of boys ages 13 and 14 have admitted to viewing porn online? Somebody just throw some numbers out there. 78%? 60, 70? 95? 99? Yep. What percentage of boys 13 and 14? 90% have admitted, according to studies. And here's the sad thing. And I've talked with a bunch of parents about this. How do we discipline when that happens? Well, if a student is looking at pornography over and over and they come to their parents set up blocks and they come back and they keep finding ways to do it and they keep getting disciplined, keep getting punished, which I think should happen. But the question is really punishing them helping them? They're addicted to something. They need help. They need someone to work with them, not just say, here's a boundary, now don't do it for a week. They need more help than that. All right, how about girls ages 13 to 14? What percentage of girls? Throw out a number. 45, 65, 75? Yeah. The amount of girls looking at porn online is 70%, 13 to 14. It's probably higher because guys have a little bit easier time talking about that than girls do. 70%. So how are y'all doing on your quiz so far? Bad? Yeah. All right. A couple other things. 1 in 5 kids ages 10 to 17 received a sexual solicitation or were approached online. 1 in 5. About 90%, I talked about this one, third average age of exposure to porn is 10 years old. Average age. Only 1/3 of households with internet access are protecting their children with filtering or blocking software. That's from Covenant Eyes. All right. What does it mean to Netflix and chill? That's your next question. What'd y'all put? Watch a movie, get some popcorn, hang out, right? You know what it meant. So if you hear this said, what it means is let's watch a movie and have sex. Netflix and chill. There's all kinds of lingo that they use. If you ever see a text that's the number 9, that means parent watching. They have all this little lingo they use when they're talking to each other. So dangerous without accountability. All right, next question. What's a finsta? You said saying that means finish the joint. Well, it's marijuana, quickly. A fake Instagram account or orange flavored soda. All right. Anybody put C? That's Fanta, if you did, not Finsta. A or B? Who put A? Okay. All right, who put B? Yeah. Finstagram. That's a fake Instagram account. And they use that for a lot of different reasons. I'm going to try to show you how to do that and what it looks like. But they use that for a lot of different reasons. One, if their parents are monitoring their Instagram, they want to see what they're looking at, who they're friends with. And if they want to do things that they shouldn't do, all they've got to do is create a fake Instagram account and look at whatever they want to look at, and then put it off of their phone or off their app and pull it up again later. Or if they want to bully someone or say something about a principal or a teacher, create a fake Instagram account with a different name. Say what you want. So I'm going to kind of walk you through what this looks like, and hopefully you can see it. But let's see here. All right, so here's Instagram. We'll start over. So this is me kind of walking through it with my phone. Oh, can you not see it? Hold on. Hold on. All right, so we left off. We were interrupted when we were talking about the fake Instagram, the Finsta. And I just wanted to show you how easy it is, one, to find a Finsta. If maybe your grand, you can go in there and see if they have a fake Instagram or a spam account. They'll call it that. I've set one up with permission from my wife. So this is my phone right here. And you'll see, I'm going to go up here to Instagram. Can y'all see that laser pointer? I'm going to click on Instagram. All right. And then I'm going to go up here and click on my account. Somewhere. Okay. So I'm on my account, my homepage of my account. And right here, this is the Briarwood Youth Group account. So we have an Instagram. All right. Again, we're not against Instagram. We're just against it at a certain age and without any boundaries. All right, and if you see an arrow, that means there's a second Instagram on someone's phone. There's another account. All right, right there. There's Briarwood Youth Group, and then there's an arrow. So I'm going to pull down on that arrow. All right, this is what it shows. All right, so now I'm at J4AU, War Eagle. All right, so this is my created Instagram account. Now, most of them aren't going to put their name. They're going to have someone else. I put James Smith. That's my grandfather's name. So now I've got another Instagram that I can look at anything I want, and I can erase it, or I can turn it off, or I can make the Briarwood Youth Group one my default. And so that's what a lot of kids are doing. There's, you know, the phones give lots of opportunities for secrets, to hide stuff, to look at stuff without anybody knowing, communication without consequence. That's what our kids think. It's communication without consequence, but it has lots and lots of consequences. Let me show you this real quick, and then I want to give you some action steps. I'm going to have to pull this back. I'm mirroring my screen, so just bear with me, and I'll do this. All right. So this is called the spy calculator. So there's lots of apps. When you pull up a phone and look at your calculator, there's an app that mimics that calculator. Okay. And this one's called spy calculator, and they make it look all friendly, but it's not. You can imagine what they do with this app. All right. Let's see. They put in four numbers in the calculator. That was their passcode to get in through the calculator. Now it opens up a whole nother app past the calculator. Get on the internet. All pretty scary, isn't it? So what's going on there is students are hiding pornography pictures. They're hiding sex messages they've gotten. They're hiding. They're using it to deal drugs and communicate with people that they shouldn't be communicating with, to sell or buy. And so that when their parents look at their phone, it just looks like a calculator. It's hard to find. So let me get back to my screen here, and I want to give you 12 action steps, and I'm going to fly through these as we're out of time. There are so many good resources online for you. One of the ones I suggest that I think is one of the very best is called Axis, A-X-I-S, Axis. And that's, they have a parent guide to almost everything. A parent guide to juuling. That was your ninth question, your tenth question. Juuling means vaping. They have a parent guide to drinking. They have a parent guide to dating. They have a parent guide to social media. They have a parent guide for everything. FOMO. Anybody get that one? What is FOMO? You got it. Fear of missing out. That's FOMO. You got it. Yep. FOMO. All right. How many of you got less than 5 right? Raise your hand. So you got a 50% or below. How many of you got more than 5 right? All right, pretty good. Anybody get them all right? JC and Ben, our youth staff back there. You see them? Our youth staff, they get all 10 of them right. Good. They should have.
I got all 10 of them wrong.
You did? You got it. All right. Quick 12 steps, just that as a grandparent, and really maybe these are some things you can, if one stands out to you, these are things you can encourage your children with as they're parenting their children, your grandchildren. One, I think it's crucial to come up with a plan of how you're going to navigate technologies and the challenge of technology. What's the plan with a cell phone? We're not just going to give it to them. What's our plan? And don't wait until they're 13 and they're begging for one. Have a plan before that you know what you're going to tell them and why. Home computer. We're going to give them a home computer? Hope not. Hope they don't have a computer in their bedroom. What are we going to do with that? Where is it going to be? What blocks are we going to have? How about laptops? Or how about our old cell phone that we don't use anymore, but we're keeping in case our new one breaks and it's just right there in the drawer? Because guess what? Even though you can't call anybody on it, guess what you can do? You can turn it on and look at the internet. And so kids are doing that. Social media. When are we going to let them? We got to expose them to it. We're not raising children. We're raising adults. So we've got to expose them to it. We got to help them navigate it. But we've got to do it like we do the poison cabinets, poison some of it. And so we don't just give it to them without any boundaries. Apps, TV, Hulu, Prime, Netflix, even your Wii, Nintendo Wii or the PlayStation has access to an internet browser. We've had students that use that to get on the online and talk to people and look at pornography. So come up with a plan. And then I would say stay informed. If you're wondering about an app, like, for instance, what is Tumblr? Type in YouTube, what is Tumblr? And you will find the answer. Be careful. Make sure you have blocks on your computer. But type it in, what is Tumblr? Or parent help in Google, what is Tumblr? And you can find resources for that. Talk to other parents and grandparents. Talk to youth pastors and teachers. I think these two are some of the best online resources. ProtectYoungMinds.com. And axis.org. Axis is kind of your one-stop shop. If you want to get on one website and find about all of this stuff, you can really get on Axis. They have something for everything. They have something called the Cultural Translator that's free. They'll just email you an email a week, and it's about some kind of new technology or a fad or statistics or something to be looking out for as a grandparent and a parent. So stay informed. Use Google. Number three, give access based on maturity, not age. One of the worst things that parents do is they say, when you're 12, we're going to give you a cell phone. What happens when that 12-year-old has proven that they pick terrible friends, they don't love the Lord, they hate going to church, and you've caught them smoking cigarettes already, and you've promised them or you've told them they can have a cell phone when they're 12? Well, guess what? You're still the parent, right? So you say, sorry, I was wrong. There's no way that's going to be a harder battle, right? We don't even go there when we talk to parents. We say, look, don't promise any age. You give them their cell phone based on their maturity. I thought this was really good. Parents Guide to Social Media says, when you're asking about access to technology, talk about these things. How well do they currently follow your rules and submit to your authority? I had somebody ask me, what's the number one way you can know a high school student walking with the Lord? And my answer was this: if they don't submit to authority. I know that's a kind of a weird answer, but if they are mean to their parents, if they disrespect their parents, if they disrespect their teachers and their grandparents or their youth pastors, I can tell you almost 100% of the time they're not walking with the Lord. They can be looking at pornography and still be walking with the Lord. Because that's just something they've got in. They're struggling, trying to kill it. But if they have a heart that hates authority, then I think that's where it begins, is who is our ultimate authority? The Lord. And we're going to live for the Lord. He's our King and Lord. And so that's the question. Before you give them access, how well do they currently follow your rules? And if they don't give them a cell phone, because they're not going to follow your rules on that either. What are their friendships like? If they've chosen bad friends, they haven't been mature enough to know the importance of godly friends. Guess what? Guess who they're going to have access to all the time on their phone? Their bad friends. And you don't want that. Are they a leader or a follower? Are they easily influenced? And then, have you talked to them about pornography, sexting, online predator, cyberbully? Have those conversations been had? Because if they haven't, you don't even need to think about giving them any access to technology. Number four, be proactive and not reactive. Rules and boundaries are a lot easier to enforce on the front end, right? So you give a kid a phone and you don't put any boundaries on there and he has it for a year and then he does something wrong and you take his internet off, you take his social media off, that's going to be a fight. But if you give them his phone or her their phone and say, here are the boundaries. You can have this phone under these circumstances, under these rules. And if you're proactive about it and you do it before a problem comes, that's going to be a lot easier. And they can say, no, I don't want that. Okay, you don't get a phone. They agree to it. They have a little ownership. I would say have dialogue about it. What do you think, before we give you this phone, what are some of your friends struggling with? What do you think some dangers are? As a believer, what would you want to be careful with? What do you want us to hold you accountable for? Let them have some input in that. You'll be amazed that a lot of them will come and say, you know, a lot of my friends are struggling with looking at bad stuff. I don't want to do that on my phone. And so a parent can say, God, praise the Lord. That's great. Let's work through that as we look at having your phone. Fifth thing, have intentional and consistent conversations with your children about technology. Some need to be formal. Let's sit down before you get your phone and let's talk about this and let's talk about this and let's talk about this. Some need to be informal. You're riding in the car. Hey, what's going on in the cell phone world today? Tell me the new app. Tell me the new music, what everybody loves. You're just asking questions. With young children, have conversations early on about accidental exposure. I think that's so important because if a young child accidentally views pornography, like a 7-year-old, two things happen. One, they like it. They're curious about it, and it makes them feel good. All right? Even at that age, there's something that can happen in their bodies. And then they feel really bad about it, and they won't tell anybody because it feels good and it shouldn't. And because they saw it, mommy and daddy didn't want them to see it. And so there's a good book that I can't think of the name of it now that actually is written to show to help parents walk through that with your kid, your child. Because what you want to do is you want to give them the freedom if they see something on accident. And there's so many things going on around them, so many ways they could see something, even with blocks. That you tell them, hey, if you see something, if you ever see something like that, you're not in trouble. Come tell mommy and daddy. And don't let Satan get a foothold. That can be really dangerous. Let me skip on to the sixth thing. Don't trust your children or your grandchildren. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a parent say, well, hey, you know we trust you, don't you? I actually think we should be saying, hey, you know you shouldn't trust yourself, right? You know daddy doesn't trust himself. Now, I'm living for the Lord. I want to be obedient. But let me tell you about some rules I have in my life. Because you know what? God says, the Bible says in Romans 7 and 8 that we have a flesh. Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things what I do want to do. So Paul, the most godly man that's ever been outside of Jesus and maybe a few others in the Bible, but one of the most godly men says, I do things I don't want to do. I have a flesh. Did Paul trust himself completely? Absolutely not. And so we don't want to, we want to build trust. I understand that. But we also want them to know, don't trust yourself. Why do you have an accountability group? If you trusted yourself 100%, you wouldn't need accountability. No, because you know you have a flesh. You know you're not trustworthy. Why do we have a window in every single office door in the church? Is it because Bruce Stallings doesn't trust his employees? Yes, that is right. And no, I mean, he trusts us. He's hired us. He knows we're trying to walk with the Lord, but he also knows we have a flesh. And we want to avoid and be above reproach and avoid any temptation, flee any of those temptations. And so give them personal examples of how you don't trust yourself. That makes it a lot easier when you say, hey, we're not going to put Safari on here because you have a flesh. You know what? You're going to want to look at stuff and you need to know your flesh is not trustworthy. Let me tell you an example that of how I'm not trustworthy and something I have to be held accountable for. Then number seven, identify and help them identify certain sin tendencies. You may have a child that is so socially left out that their tendency is they're going to find a community online. That's how a lot of homosexuality struggles happen. Nobody accepts me at school. I find a community of other men or other women that accept me for who I am. I'm a girl. I don't like all the girl things. I like to work on the car with my dad. And everybody thinks I'm a tomboy, and I am. And the world tells that girl, well, maybe you're not a girl, right? And so she'll find somewhere online to be accepted. And so maybe that is identify their sin tendencies, or maybe they just make bad choices, impulse choices, or maybe they're, my oldest daughter can't stand boys. My youngest daughter, she's oldest daughter's 9. She's still like boys are yucky. My little Caroline is 6. And since she was 3, she thinks boys are the cutest thing ever. So they're going to have different sin tendencies that I've got to watch out for. Right. All right. Number 8. Teach them to flee temptation, not to resist it. I think that is so, so important. What is happening right now is parents give them a phone and they say, resist. Don't look at that Safari, even though you can. Don't get on that Instagram and look around, even though you have free access. Don't do it. Don't text those friends that message. I'm not going to look at your phone because I trust you, but don't do it. What we're asking them to do is just to resist, 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 resist. And the Bible tells us not to do that. None of us can resist temptation after a certain period of time. No, we're to flee temptation. And I just put, there's lots of scripture here that you can look at. And we're going to try to send you these slides, but I'm going to kind of go quickly. Set boundaries and blocks. We talked about the guardrails on the road. We're not raising children, we're raising adults. Right. So we've got to, our goal is that they leave our home, they leave their parents' home, and they actually know how to use technology for the Lord. And so we're allowing them to have some more stuff. Now, they may get to college and like some of our students, you know, they've decided we're not having cable and I'm not having internet or I'm not having my own computer. Or Ben, I think it was y'all. Didn't y'all put a computer in the public space in your house? Yeah. So Ben, I love that. Their house decided, we got to have a computer, but we're going to put it in a public space. It's his parents and his youth pastor, no more his parents, taught him to use technology rightly. And then he left and used it in the right way and put guardrails up. I think that's awesome. That's our goal. Showed you this road. I've got all kinds of suggestions for blocks that I'll send to you. Time limits, filters, accountability, where it actually reports what you do. There's helpful resources here. I'm going to close, Dave, because I don't have a lot of time. But I'll, like I said, we'll send you these. Maybe we can print out these resources. And then let me hit a couple more things. I think the most important one is coming up. Deal with the heart. Create an internal filter. Here's the reality. We can put rules and guidelines and prevent our kids from doing things we don't want them to do. And great. We can't totally prevent them, but we can be as strict as we possibly can. And if we don't deal with the heart, then they're going to leave and still desire the things of the world. So we want to create an internal filter, not just a filter of internet, not just a filter of who they're hanging out with, but an internal filter of the heart. So they're looking at everything through the lenses of Scripture and what pleases the Lord. And so they first have to be a believer, and then we're helping them understand why, when I want to look at that bad image, where is that coming from? It's coming from a heart that believes that God, that image is going to satisfy me and the Lord isn't. When I want to be with those friends that are online because these friends at school don't accept me, but they will, even though they're bad influence, where is that coming from? It's a heart that doesn't believe that God is their friend. It's a heart that doesn't believe that to trust in the Lord and pray that God will bring them the right friends. And they need to wait on that and seek that in the right places. Love this. A student actually drew this. So that's a student. And that's their sin. Let's say it's pornography, right, that they're struggling with. And they have a cell phone. What do? We try to put a block so that when they are thinking about it and are tempted with it, what do they hit? They hit that block. They hit the filter, right, on their phone. But what can they do? Whoops. All right. What can they do if they hit the block? Is there still a way to get to it? They can go the long way. All right. So you can't totally block. If a student wants to look at something or do something, they're going to find a way. All right. That's why we have to deal with the heart. So we want to block them from getting to the quick, easy way. And we've got to know they may try to come the other way. But what we're really trying to do is get them off the sin circle, get them off the sin cycle to the cross, point them to Jesus and tell them why this is not a good idea, why this isn't going to satisfy them. I'm going to close on that. Thank you for your time. I would love to talk or help if you have any questions afterwards. Honor to be here. Thank you, Dave.